We'll rock and roll with this week's Rain Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of February 16th, 2007, this is the Rain Report, the weekly ham radio audio magazine produced by Hap Holly, KC9RP, for Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. FYI, if you missed our series on choosing a scanner in a post-9/11 world, you'll find all three installments available as both MP3 downloads and podcasts on the archive page of therainreport.com and telephonically at 773-249-0720. That's 773-249-0720, courtesy of Uttle Systems. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. If you've dabbled on the HF bands of late, they've been hit or miss. A whole lot more miss than hit. Ah, but patience is a virtue. If we wait just a little longer, our patience will be amply rewarded. So says Thomas Hood, NW7US, propagation columnist for CQ, CQVHF, and Popular Communications magazines. Rain's founder producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, spoke with Thomas about Solar Cycle 24 coming to an ionospheric layer near you. Here's part one of Hap's interview with Thomas, delving into the potential and real prospects of this much-vaunted super cycle.
It's hard to tell when Cycle 24 will actually begin. First, we have to know whether or not Cycle 23 has ended. I have a hunch that Cycle 23 may have breathed its last within the last couple of months, yet it's still hard to determine that accurately until you get far enough into the future where you can look back with good hindsight. It takes some statistical math to determine when the average actually hit the very lowest point in that approximately 11-year cycle. Once you find that minimum point, then you know when the next cycle actually began ramping up. We've had some fluctuations over the course of the last 6 or so months where it looked like we may have reached a bottom, then it kind of started going up again, but then it dipped right back down. So we can't yet determine if 24 has actually begun. Most everybody who looks at these things closely are saying that 2007 is going to be the beginning year of cycle 24. The interesting thing about all of the most recent cycles, and remember, a cycle is about 11 years in length. When we say the most recent ones, we're talking still about dozens of years for each cycle, or 9 to 10 years for the short ones. 30 to 50 years, you're talking only 3 or 4 cycles. What we see is that a number of them ramp up quite rapidly. For instance, cycle 21 and cycle 22 had about 32 to 40 months of ramp up from the estimated beginning of that cycle. Cycle 23, however, it took 44, 45 months to ramp up to its two peaks. It peaked at 120.8 smooth sunspots per month in April 2000, and then had a second smaller peak at 115.5 smooth sunspots per month in November of 2001. Most solar cycles actually do have what could be looked at as a double peak. This is cycle 23. It was very prominently noticeable because the dip in between was a lot more prominent than some of the earlier cycles. Possible reasons for a double peak is just the way the magnetic poles of the sun flip over. During each solar cycle, the solar magnetic north and south poles actually flip. That's a very chaotic process. Things that go on within the solar magnetic structures and in the way that all of these complex things relate within the sun can cause some chaos, which can show up as those double peaks. Solar activity is our meta view of looking at the sun and saying, this is what's happening on the sun. The sun is so complex that even within 23 days, we see cycles. Things are constantly moving and changing, but we do, over time, begin to see patterns emerge. Cycle 24, based on some of the most recent models that have been observed through looking back at all of the data ever recorded since 1700, they're now predicting that cycle 24 could very well be one of the biggest or most energetic cycles in recorded history. Certainly, it's probably going to be the strongest in the last 50-some years. It's going to rival, if not at least match, that of the 1950s. And if there's a listener who was around in the 1950s on VHF amateur bands, they'll probably remember worldwide very common conditions throughout the peak of that solar cycle when they could talk around the world on VHF. On 6 meters, they could be talking across the Atlantic Ocean to European contacts or down into Australia via not troposphere, not ducting, not by satellite. All of that was by the ionosphere. All of that worldwide propagation was off the ionosphere. Because the sun was so active at the time that the ionosphere was incredibly energized, resulting in a very solid reflective surface, like a mirror of sorts, that allowed the high VHF radio frequency to bounce off the ionosphere and give us several skips across great vast distances and give us worldwide communication. So we're looking, if these forecasters are correct in their assessment and their understanding of the solar science, that cycle 24 is going to be unprecedented for most of the amateur radio community nowadays.
If that cycle happens to be as large as NASA and others are saying it's going to be, it does come with a price, doesn't it?
Well, it might come as a price in terms of solar storming. With any solar cycle, the sun can be unpredictable and unleash incredibly powerful explosions. Sometimes those come in the way of solar flare, but there are other type of solar events that are not solar flares that still unleash amazing amounts of energy. A solar prominence, for instance, one other type of solar phenomenon.
I'm speaking today with Thomas Hood, NW7US, the propagation columnist for CQ, CQ-VHF, and Popular Communications Magazines. And we're talking about Cycle 24. We'll be right back. This is the Rain Report.
You are listening to the Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
One thing that the VHFer knows is that solar storms that trigger geomagnetic storms here on Earth, that's the great treasure of the VHFer, because those storms give rise to aurora and all of the exotic modes that VHFers so enjoy. But that will cause a lot of chaos and degradation of HF frequencies lower than VHF, like 20 meters, 80 meters, and you know, the low frequencies. Those bands can be disrupted at times to the point of frustration, because you would like to have quiet geomagnetic conditions for worldwide communications on those lower frequencies. But interspersed within those stormy periods are going to be phenomenally excellent conditions for HF, because you have high sunspots, you have a very strong ionosphere as a result, and your signals are going to be solid, and they're going to be coming from all over the world, because the ionosphere can support worldwide communications on all HF frequencies. So even if we're going to have these stormy periods, and they may occur quite often, in between that are going to be windows of opportunity like we've never seen for a while. I think everyone's going to find benefit with Cycle 24. And you know what's really exciting, Hap, is with the new FCC rules and regulations here in North America and changes throughout the world in regulations, the number of amateurs that are going to be on the air all over the HF and VHF spectrum, we're going to have an exciting playing field.
Now, when you talk about enhanced propagation on the HF band in between these solar storms, we're talking about 24/7 propagation on 15 and even on 10 meters, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I do remember during the last solar cycle before 23, and that was cycle 22, there were periods, for instance, one Memorial Day weekend, I was doing mobile traveling across the United States from the eastern coast to the west coast, and I had a 10-meter rig, 25-watt. Some people might remember the Radio Shack 10-meter equipment that was available at the time. I had just a steel whip antenna, what some people would have thought was the old CB whip, big, long, steel whip antenna on the back of my car, but I had it tuned for 10 meters. I would literally be traveling along the road with 25 watts talking to people all over the world. I think I've worked all continents. I worked, I don't know how many countries, on 10 meters while I was mobile with high ignition noise, and this was almost around the clock. Even at midnight, I was still talking to people on 10 meters, not just local or ground wave, but talking via the ionosphere all over the world. Cycle 22 certainly was stronger than cycle 23, but it wasn't unprecedented. The magnitude of cycle 22 wasn't so great that hearing signals from all over the world was a common thing. It was somewhat rare in cycle 22. Imagine a cycle that for day after day, week after week, during the peak of a cycle, you're going to hear signals coming in from all over the world on a number of bands, which will allow the ham community to spread out, find a quiet little spot, and be able to have a conversation with somebody on the other side of the world for more than 5 seconds, not just CQ, 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 DX, hear a little scratchy signal, maybe get their call sign and maybe a signal report and where they're located, but you'll be able to have a conversation. You'll be able to talk long enough to make friendships. Now, ham radio is all about making friendships with cultures and peoples all across the world. And imagine being able to do that on VHF at times as well. That's what they're predicting for Cycle 24.
This has been part one of our series, Solar Cycle 24, A Sneak Peek, an interview with Thomas Hood, NW7US, propagation columnist with CQ, CQVHF, and Popular Communications magazines. So what do folks operating 2 meters and higher have to look forward to from Cycle 24? And what impact will 24 have on our lives off the ham bands? Thomas will address those issues next time in part two of this series. RAIN programming is being subsidized by Merle Heinlein, KB9NOH. You can read his bio on QRZ.com. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990 through 2007, RAIN, all rights reserved. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ.